Romans chapter 6. Just show you some things in Romans 6. I've gone over this one before, but I'm going to point something out in particular. Just emphasize on a word. And then apply it to another area of Scripture. And that word that we're going to focus on is rain. Not rain as in it, like rain outside today. Freezing rain, that is. but rain as in reigning as a king. All right? That's the word we're going to look at. But Romans 6 is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. It's really helped me to understand the liberty that I have in Christ Jesus, and I've been able to see sin defeated on a regular basis because of Romans chapter 6, and I do love this passage, and I'm thankful that it's in here. It's just, God's gift of salvation is so wonderful that we have eternal life, and it doesn't cost anything, just receive it. And then at the same time, eternal life does not begin when we die, it starts now. And that's just a wonderful promise that we have. But let's look at verse 1 and of chapter 6. It says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid." You know this passage very well. "How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" And by the way, that's that. Oh, thanks, buddy. I appreciate that. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of God the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." Now I want to stop there at verse 6 for just a second. We're going to go a little bit further, but I want us to stop at verse 6 because I want you to understand that when it says that we shall not continue in sin, it says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. That's referring to our spiritual person, our spiritual man. And I'm going to explain that in just a minute. But as Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, so we should walk in newness of life on a regular basis. Now, remember what the Bible says. The Bible says to not walk after the flesh, but to walk after the Spirit. And so therefore, we are recognizing our spiritual person. We are dead to sin, alive unto God through Jesus Christ. All right? And and then eventually, all right, look at what it says. All right? "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed." All right, so there's no way that we were physically crucified with Jesus Christ. All right, that's not possible. So it's referring to a spiritual death. We died with him spiritually. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So it's referring to a spiritual man. We can't walk, we shouldn't walk in the flesh. We must never walk in the flesh. We walk in the Spirit. And that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. And that's referring to the second birth. All right? And we sung about it in our Christmas music. Second Adam from above. All right? Second birth. All right? Having that second birth in Jesus Christ. All right, so it says this in verse 7, "For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. All right, when it says reckon, that means you may not feel like you're dead to sin. You may not feel like that you have the liberty to be able to be free from hard feelings or hard attitude. You may not feel like being Mr. Nice Guy when you're having a bad day. But the Bible says in Philippians 4:13, it says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And you can take that all things and replace it with whatever it is that you're struggling with. All right, I can speak kindly through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can encourage people through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can witness, right, through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can preach through Christ, which strengtheneth me. All right, I can think good thoughts through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can be the father that I need to be, all right, through Christ, which strengtheneth me. All those things, because why? Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. And because he's the end of the law for righteousness, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Because he's the end of the law. The law has been put away because of Jesus Christ. And because of him, I can do those things. All right, so then we go on. And it says this, verse 12. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Now, that's the word that I want to focus on tonight. Reign. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body. That didn't mean that sin's not going to be there. It says not to let it reign there. Don't let it rule. Now, it's going to be a rebel. All right? Every king in his kingdom has a rebel. All right, you remember David had Absalom. What did Absalom try to do? He did exactly what the flesh tries to do all the time. All right, what did he do? He wooed the people that made up the kingdom. All right, Absalom, he comes up and he has all the people come and visit him. And he goes, oh, if only there was a voice for you in the kingdom. If only you could just speak out a little bit louder. But David, he just won't let you do anything. And he won the hearts of the people over. He was a rebel. He wasn't the king. He didn't have the authority to do that, but he did it anyway. And that's the exact same thing that we experience in our flesh. All right, you remember the study that we did in the book of Esther. All right, Esther represented the spirit. Ahasuerus represented the soul. All right, and Haman represented the flesh. And there was great trouble throughout the province of Persia because of wicked Haman. The province of Persia would represent the body. All right, and so Absalom disrupted the body. Because he was, and you know what? David let him, didn't he? He let him go. People said, we've got to do something about Absalom. And he says, no, just let him be. Maybe he'll come back. Maybe he'll get things right. No, your flesh will never get right. Joab, you know, I realize that Joab didn't do what was right. He didn't do what he was supposed to do. But David continued to mourn after Absalom. Continued to say, you've got to spare him, spare his life. There are times when we've got to sacrifice things that are important to us, but are not pleasing to the Lord. All right, so we can't let sin reign in our mortal bodies. Our body is the kingdom. All right, I told you before, we like to look down on kings like Ahab, We like to look down on kings like, Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. All right, you remember he built those two golden calves. You know, we like to look down on them because they made these huge, atrocious things, and their names became mud throughout history. But here's the thing. We are the king of our own province right here. And I wonder how many golden calves we've built in our kingdom. I wonder how many times we've put things before God like Jeroboam did. The reason why Jeroboam is mentioned so many times, and we see it says that this king did what his father Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, did. I mean, his name was just, you were reminded about Jeroboam all throughout the Old Testament when it came to the kingdom of Israel. Not the kingdom of Judah, but Israel during that civil war period going on in Israel. All right, you had Jeroboam, and any king that did what was wicked, it said, even as his father Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. I mean, it was constantly mentioning him. But I wonder how many times we've built golden calves. I wonder how many times we've put things ahead of God. And so we can't let sin reign. It's going to be there. Because the Bible says this, it's not I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. We do have sin in this flesh. And if we're not careful, we're going to let sin reign. If we don't do anything, if we sit back and just say, well, I don't need to read my Bible today. I don't need to go to church today. I don't need to pray today. I don't need to pay attention to what the pastor's saying. Anything like that, you know, any type of an attitude that says, I don't need to do this, all right? You will let the rebel flesh come in and reign in your mortal body. You can say to that flesh, now, I'm going to take a break from Christianity. Now, don't mess around. Don't misbehave. All right? No. We've constantly got to keep our eyes out for that wicked rebel, the flesh. Just like Haman. Haman was hanged. But guess what? He had 10 more sons. He was taken care of. But he had offspring that were there. And you know what Esther said? Kill them too. That's what Esther asked. She said that to Ahasuerus. She represents the spirit. The spirit says, hey, that's wrong. We need to get rid of it. It's a constant battle, moment by moment. Every day, we're constantly warring with the flesh. You may think you've got victory over the flesh today. And then tonight, the flesh comes back and rears up its ugly head, and you go, well, what in the world happened? It's because Haman has come back again. And he's going to come back again and again and again and again. And the moment that you let down your guard, he's going to take over, because that's exactly what he is a rebel. Your flesh is a rebel against everything that's of God. You're allowing your flesh to reign in your mortal body when you don't do anything about it. Your flesh has absolutely nothing good in and of itself. There's not one good thing that's in your flesh. Amen. It's absolutely wicked. And the moment that you step down and allow and do nothing, you don't have to do anything. It'll come and take over. So we can't let sin reign in our mortal body. Sin there is. It is in our body. Romans 7, read it, all right? Let's look there, okay? It's just right in the next chapter, all right? Romans 7. All right? Look what it says. Verse 16 of Romans chapter 7. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Sin is a citizen of your body. And if you don't do anything about it, it's going to come and take over that body. And it's necessary that we don't let it reign, because it's going to try. It's going to do everything it can to be king. And it's going to do everything it can to exile you. Oh, David was king, wasn't he? You know what? Shimei, I think his name was Shimei. Shimei, when he saw that David was exiled, he threw stones and kicked dirt up at him and cursed him and all this. But as soon as David claimed the throne once again, Shimei changed his tune, didn't he? Oh, David, please have mercy on me. You remember that? You see, that's the thing, is we've got to keep our eyes on that flesh and we need to continually keep it in check, or else it's going to kick dirt and throw stones at us and curse us. But hey, we're the king. He has no right to say that. And that's why we've got to constantly reckon ourselves to be dead and say, hey, I don't have to put up with this. So we're free. We're free from sin. And so praise the Lord for that. All right, so what do we allow to reign? Well, Colossians chapter 3. All right, Colossians 3. Look what it says. All right. So just remember, if you haven't gotten anything out of this message, remember this, that sin is alive and it's going to continue to be alive and it's a citizen of your body, but you don't have to let it reign. You don't have to let it rule. You don't have to let it call the shots. It's not allowed to call the shots. You can say, hey, get down. It's going to come back up again. You just say, get down again and keep saying it. That's why we walk in the Spirit and not after the flesh. All right, so look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12, all right? I'm sorry. Verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Well, look at that. How do we overcome the flesh? All right? We let the peace of God rule in our hearts. How do we let the peace of God rule in our hearts? That means that if there's any dis-ease, I like to say it like that, disease. We don't like having diseases in our body. You know what? That if you look at it and if you say it in a certain way, it's dis-ease. That's what disease is. It takes away your ease. It takes away your peace. Sin is a disease. It gives you dis-ease. And as a result, you live a miserable life. Sin will make you miserable. You have guilt. You've done I'm looking at the young people here. You've done wrong with your parents. It's going to make you feel bad. You've got to let the peace of God rule in your heart. In order for that to happen, you have to say, okay, Lord, there's something's not right. I don't have peace. Now, Lord, would you show me, is there any sin in my life so that I can get rid of this ill feeling that I've got? I feel like I'm getting ill at people. I feel like I can't concentrate on things. I'm just overcome with negativity. There's not peace there. Is there any sin that's in my life? And the Lord will show you. And when you get it right, you'll allow peace to rule again. You'll have peace with God. It doesn't matter how many people hate you. If you've got peace with God, it's wonderful. It gives you absolute comfort and rest. You can sleep. It's a great feeling. And you let the peace of God rule in your hearts and be thankful. That's, oh Lord, thank you so much for allowing that peace. Being thankful for everything that you have. You know, that's something. You know, my wife brought up a great point. She said, you never see God blessing anyone in the Bible who is a complainer. You never do. But you always see him blessing people who are thankful. And that's very, very true. She's got an excellent point when it comes to that. So, all right, now, when it comes to the peace of God, all right, now I want us to look at one more passage, all right, before we pray. All right, Philippians chapter 4. This has a lot, you know, you remember what it said? Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. All right, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. All right, look what this says. Be careful for nothing. That's be anxious. Don't worry. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with what? Thanksgiving. Look at that. There it is again. Thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And what does it say in the next verse? And the peace of God. And I love this. Which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Oh, look at that. Give thanks. Giving. All right. So again, it says, and I just lost my place. Oh yeah, be careful for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. All right, that's recognizing the Lord's going to give it to you. And not only that, but the Lord has already given you things that are going to that are keeping you content. Things are not going to always go your way. But as long as your goals are in tune with God's goals, as long as you recognize, hey, you know what? This didn't happen the way I wanted it to, but as long as God is having his way, I can't handle it. There's nothing I can do about it, but he's still having his way. Thank you, Lord, for allowing everything to go according to your plan. You know, if I have plans on my own, look, I've learned really fast that my own plans are going to get disappointed a lot. But when I recognize, hey, you know what? God's got a plan. I can wait, and I can wait for a long time when I've got that attitude. Boy, it's helpful. So anyway, so don't let sin reign. Let the peace of God reign in your hearts with prayer, with thanksgiving. Let's be thankful. Let's be thankful for the life that God's given each of us. And let's be thankful for what he can do for us and what he will do for us if we just acknowledge him. All right, so let's go to the Lord right now, okay? Does anybody have any pressing prayer requests that they